This is the Freedom Fiends coming to you from the 11th dimension. I'm being kind of quiet singing tonight because I got some noise complaints from my wife because she sleeps because she has a day job. So yeah, if she's asleep, I can't sing really loud to open the show. So I'm gonna have to work on my Spicoli range, kind of down more in the down here. So Davi Barker, well you're the third wheel tonight. So let's you're the guest, not the co-host. So let's you're all co-hosts. So. Garrett Fox, it's your night. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful tonight, Michael. Thanks for having me on again.
You know, I thought about something. We often say on here, "Yeah, I'm doing good." I'm. And the thing is, I say I'm doing good. I think you said I'm doing well, which is correct. And the way I've heard it is, no, Superman does good. I'm doing well. Yeah, it's a grammar thing. So, Davi Barker, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Good. Good. You like knives, don't you?
I'm a fan of knives.
Yeah, we're gonna
talk a collection.
We're gonna talk some about knives. Nah. Have you heard? There's a Fiend fan who, when he calls in, like his thing instead of worms, it's this guy in Hawaii. Instead of saying like worms, or instead of saying nice, he says knives.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I like it. Knives.
Blades don't run out of bullets.
That's true, and they're silent. Which is why true murderers prefer 4 out of 5 murderers surveyed prefer knives to guns if they're smart.
They're a little messy though.
It's
harder to trace the ballistics.
Yeah, but you're also going to be covered with blood. Although shooting somebody at close range, you're going to be covered with blood too. What are we talking about, man? This is not
apparently murder.
This is not the topic I signed up for. So. Yeah, so Davi, you had some bad luck. I don't know if it's luck. You did something.
I did it
okay,
to myself.
I wasn't going to say it, but anyway, you won't do it again. And it's a cautionary example for the whole Liberty and Bitcoin community. So go ahead and tell your sorrowful story of woe.
Yeah, so I had a really great pork fest. I sold a bunch of great swag. I met a lot of great people, and I made quite a bit of money. And then when I got home and I was divvying it up amongst the various sort of people who were sort of invested in me, whose money I was holding because it was their merchandise I was selling.
Including charities.
That money just sort of disappeared. Like suddenly my account balance was zero. And wow. I looked into it and it turns out that my Bitcoin wallet had been hacked by somebody and that they stole upwards of almost $6,000 in Bitcoin.
Wow.
Oh
man. And this has happened to some other people in Liberty who you know, so it's kind of looking like maybe it was a targeted thing against Liberty people. Or I mean, maybe it's not, like, maybe it's the government trying to prove that Bitcoin doesn't work and it's bad, but maybe it's something like, you know, someone who's just an opportunistic thief says, oh, this guy.
Well, they have to break your leg before they give you a crutch, so maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's sort of my more paranoid speculation. It's also a possibility that conventional hackers or thieves are targeting these conferences because they've sort of learned that there's sort of sketchy security at these conferences, and it's easy to sort of see what floats across a public Wi-Fi connection or, you know, things like that. Or, I mean, for that matter, like a high resolution camera, you could pick up what people's passwords or what they're typing into their phones or whatever. I don't know. But in all likelihood, based on sort of the security people I've talked to, what probably happened with me is somebody managed to hack into my email account. And because blockchain.info sends you backups of your wallet, by being in my email account, they were able to get the private keys of the Bitcoin in my wallet and send it, whether they had access to my blockchain account or not. They sort of interact with the Bitcoin network itself and redirect those coins.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm wondering if Roger Ver is going to step up and bail you out. I think he did.
Roger Ver has done an amazing thing in the last couple of days.
Oh, yes.
And he posted a tweet and he said, I think it was $10. He'll give $10 to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund for every time that it's retweeted up to a certain point, and he's given something like $100,000.
You know what's amazing about that? I mean, that's just amazing, and I love it. And but you know what's kind of neat about this? I don't even know if Roger Ver realizes this, but I think he's probably heard this thing in the back of his head, and it's what it's based on. This is actually, it seems to me, to be based on like a scam. And I'm not saying there's anything scammy about the guy. He's above reproach and he's great. But there was in the early days of the web, you know, like 1995 or so, there was a chain email that went around that claimed to be from Bill Gates, and it was a Microsoft address, but it wasn't. When you hit return, and it didn't go to that. It went to a different address. And it said, like, forward this, you know, hit reply all and forward this. I'm trying to test how emails propagate across the internet. I'll spend $10 to some charity for every, you know, everyone that gets forwarded. And it got forwarded massively. And really, it was just a big scam to collect email addresses. But it kind of reminds me of that. I think that bad spam turned into the meme of a good thing.
Well, he's doing it for real, though.
Oh, I know. I'm absolutely sure of it. I'm just saying it kind of... You know, it'd be kind of
so
like
this. I don't want people to bail me out because there are people who've lost more Bitcoin than me. I mean, Free Aid deserves to be bailed out more than I do. Liz Reitzik deserves to be bailed out more than I do. I you know, this was a temporary wallet that I had for the conference. I use it at festivals and conferences and things like that. And it was not my primary Bitcoin. It was just what I earned at Porkfest. I'm not starving to death. I'm not bankrupt.
Yeah, it was, It was a big hit, but it wasn't.
Oh, it was huge. It was like the biggest event for the year, and I was fully invested. Everything Shiny Badges is was invested in this event, and so Shiny Badges is going to take a back seat for a little while.
But it was new products. You know, it wasn't like someone tied you up and cut off body parts and sent them to your family. It's more like you got, you know, jumped in the alley and someone punched you really hard in the stomach four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, there's also there were these people that had their money entrusted in me, right? So, like, I was carrying the Bitcoin Not Bombs shirts, which are fundraisers for Hoodie the Homeless. And so everything that went to Hoodie the Homeless at Porkfest, I was carrying.
You bailed them out, though.
I bailed out everyone. I sent $800 to Pirate Printing. I sent $1,200 to Hoodie the Homeless. I sent various amounts to Ross Ulbricht and Shire Sharing and Antiwar.com. Yeah, everything that was pledged to one of these charities, I took out of my own savings.
Man, that's you're a mensch, brother. That's great. It's
yeah. I don't even like calling that a bailout. I think that's just holding your own there.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's the only thing.
It's keeping
you could
my word is what it is. That's how I look at it. Yep. I was entrusted with something. The security breach was like, even though I'm not the thief, I was not engaging in best practices for security at a conference like that or a festival like that.
You know,
you got to take responsibility. That's what freedom's about.
You know, I am. There's a guy, I can't remember his name, but he's an author who like 20 years ago wrote something that said there's only two rules in life, and it's do not initiate force. He said force, you know, before aggression, before it was called aggression like that. But he said do not initiate force and keep your word. And it's kind of interesting. I wrote a book called User's Manual for the Human Experience that extrapolates on those two rules. And, you know, I'm a thin libertarian in that I kind of think the only thing that really matters is the non-aggression principle. But I'll say this, I don't hang out with people that won't keep their word. I think that's a close number two. And I think I'm still a thin libertarian by saying that, even if I don't even think that matters. But
I think that keeping your word is part of the non-aggression principle.
There you go.
Because it is a subset of fraud.
If
I say that I'm going to do something and you carry on under the assumption that I'm going to do that and then I don't, I have defrauded you. I've taken away your right to the decisions you made based on what I said.
And, you know, I take that to an extreme, to even like I extrapolate that to being late.
Yeah, me too.
You know, if I'm, you know, and if someone's 10 minutes late to something and I'm already at my house anyway, and you know, I have other things to do and it's not killing me to wait 10 minutes. I'm not going to cut them out of my life. But you know, if somebody tells me to meet them on a street corner and I make an effort to be there and they're, you know, an hour late, and then the next time they're 40 minutes late, I pretty much just cut them out of my life because they're stealing from me. They're stealing based on the assumption that I'm going to be there. And unless they have a darn good excuse, I think that they've violated something, some contract.
Well, and they're taking advantage too. They're taking advantage of you, and that's just not right.
Yeah. So how did how did this Bitcoin slurpery happen, and what could you have done to prevent it, and what are you doing in the future to prevent it?
So in a sense, it is a call against centralization, right? So all the money I took in at Porkfest, I put all in one wallet. I took all the cash or paper payments that people gave me, and I put them into the Bitcoin ATM, and I put them all in my Bitcoin wallet. And so it was a single point of failure.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had five
wallets, if you had five wallets and didn't use the same Gmail for all of them, you know, you would have lost a 1/5 of that maybe.
Right. Not just that, but you guys may have seen this device. I'm going to get one of these. It's called a Pipper, or maybe it's Piper. I'm not sure. Phillips had one at Porkfest, and it's essentially it's a thermal receipt printer that's not connected to the internet, and it has a very simple piece of open source software in it. And when you push a button, it just prints out a new random private and public key pair. So it's essentially printing out paper wallets all day long, and it's not connected to the internet.
Nice.
So I could have, in theory, from my phone, put this money on 12 different paper wallets and carried it home in my wallet, in my leather wallet. Or put it in different pieces of luggage, or put it in my sock, or whatever. And then it wouldn't have been accessible from the internet while I was traveling. So, you know, there are things like that that can be done. I think paper wallets, or people, you can call them offline wallets because they don't have to be paper. That's the most secure thing you can do.
I have an idea for a product or service someone could provide is doing that. Like, what does it print? Does it print numbers, or does it print a QR code, or what?
It prints two QR codes. The numbers are there, too.
How about if somebody did that so it prints QR codes hidden in a drawing, so if someone finds it who doesn't know what it is, they just think it's art?
That's possible, too.
You know, like it's on the horse's butt under the cowboy or something. We'll be back with more on how to protect your Bitcoin from the man.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
by sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. And yes, we are on satellites. And I'm going to check if we're on other satellites. I heard we're on some other satellites. At some point, I'm just going to let you guys talk. And I'm going to go listen to satellites.
I'm pointing at the stars.
So we got a bunch of hits lately from a town on the Fiends website. Somebody has been checking out the site and enjoying it, from a town in Siberia, Russia. The town is called IRKUTSK, Irkstick. I don't know how you say it, but you know, I had to look that one up. I want to know where our fiends are. I want to know where our fiends are at and what their town looks like, especially if it's in Siberia, which sounds like this mythical frozen prison to me, from what I know from movies. And they have a coat of arms. This town has a coat of arms, and I just sent it to the boys, and they just laughed heartily, man. It's this really weird, it looks like it was drawn by school children. This is their municipal coat of arms, and it looks like It looks like an insane cat, like holding a dead weasel in its mouth, and
with webbed toes.
Webbed toes, and it looks like a half a coat of arms. Like it looks like it's missing the top of it. So I'm gonna.
I think the cat ate the top of it.
So I think I'm just gonna like add Freedom Fiends and make it the Freedom Fiends coat of arms and use it for this episode tonight. So I don't know what it's gonna be called yet. You know, Freedom Fiends herding cats from here to Siberia, maybe. But yeah, Davi's going to tell you about two-factor authentication now, and I'm going to mute my mic and go listen to Satellite. So go, baby, go.
Yeah, so the question is, you know, what can be done? And so when I say that I wasn't practicing best practices as far as security, what that means is that I had not activated two-factor authentication on my accounts. And you should definitely have this on any Bitcoin wallet. Almost all of them offer this now. But also Gmail offers this, and a lot of other email services offer it. And what it means is that you verify your phone or some other form of contact so that when you go in and you log in and you give them your password, it says, we're going to send you a text message. A number is going to appear on your phone. Send us that number. And that's like a randomly generated password that like happens all. And that means that you're not just what two-factor authentication means is the two factors are the computer where you put in the password and the phone where you received this secret code. And that means that because there's two points of reference, they know you're the real person and you're not a hacker in Siberia or something like that. And so even this is not foolproof. There are apparently ways around this because FreeAid's hack was around. They had two-factor authentication set up and it was hacked anyway. And I'm not sure how that happened. But essentially, you should consider something vulnerable to some extent if it's online. And the way to really secure, if you want to deep storage your Bitcoin, is to unplug it, is to put it onto an offline wallet. And there's various ways of doing that. And there's sort of services that can help you figure out how to do that. But the other thing, and this is not, it's just so that we're not panicking at everybody, there's a good chance that I was targeted because I go to a lot of these conferences, because I'm an outspoken person, because I'm on all of these Bitcoin-related shows. There is a good chance that somebody just sort of assumed that I must have a lot of Bitcoin because I talk about it all the time. And, you know, these people think that means that that's okay. So, yeah, that's the long and the short of it.
I wonder if it was one of the guys from that clan on your mobile cell phone game.
Well, they still haven't accepted me. Some people who don't know what that is. I play this game. This is a total tangent, all tangents all the time. I play this game called Clash of Clans on my phone. And it's like this like medieval game where you build soldiers and archers and giants and wizards and you go and you form clans with other players and then you raid and attack other clans. And so I was looking for a good. I used to be the leader of Anarchia, which was I was a really successful clan. I had like 20 people and we'd won like 12 wars in a row. And then I went to Porkfest and I said I left somebody else in charge. When I came back, it was like 6 people and they were completely destroyed. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to abandon Anarchia. And I found a clan. I went looking for Bitcoin related clans and I found one called Bitcoin Bombers, which is like, I think, an homage to Bitcoin, not bombs. And they also use the black and gold flag as their banner, as their clan symbol. So I'm like, okay, like I know what these guys are about. And they have like 48 members and they're like the largest Bitcoin related clan in the whole game. And so I ask to join and then I get denied. So it's just funny to me that like they're probably fans of my organization.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, exactly.
I can't be in their clan.
You're not able to join us. They probably think that. Did you tell them that you came up with Bitcoin?
No, I play under a fake name. Yeah. Well, I just think it's funny.
We're not on those satellites. We're not on those satellites. John has a long mustache. John,
I've not been contacted by the government.
Worms, I've not been contacted by the government. The chair is against the wall, and we'll be back. Worms. Ian just wrote me to tell me I'm not on those satellites.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
I know Ian Freeman is listening, and Ian, I want to thank you for your service.
An audience of one.
That's our motto. Yeah, we're like the National Guard of radio, an audience of one.
So, Michael, the other day I fired up an episode from Porkfest that you guys were all doing,
and Ian
where I think you had like I think you had like five people on the mics all meowing at once.
It was awesome. Oh, the audience is meowing too.
Yeah, as soon as that episode fired up, my cat freaked out. Like, where are all these cats coming from? And this
army of cats coming over the hill from Siberia to eat them. Yeah. No, but Ian Freeman is the hardest working man in Liberty Talk Radio. And
I don't think he sleeps.
I don't think he is, because he's like right now checking various satellites to see if the fiends are on. That's so cool, man. It's like, I don't know. I feel like we're that much closer to reaching that planet in near Alpha Centauri if we got other satellites that we didn't know about that might be broadcasting us. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So, guys, why should people podcast?
Because people got to hear it, and they got to hear it in every possible way.
Yeah.
Everybody should wiretap themselves.
Yeah. What do you get out of what do you guys get out of this?
Mostly just good conversation.
Yeah, because it's basically like we're just talking with our friends and we happen to share it with this giant global audience of one or two, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a sense in which it's kind of getting it out of my head so that it's not clamoring around up there.
This is my therapist and, you know, like my friend. My friend is the radio and the people on the radio and the people listening. That's why I never leave my windowless bunker. You know, I wasn't really at Porkfest. That was all Photoshop. As soon as Nikki Darling would upload photos, my friend Crazy Rich that does the Fiends memes, he and I would sit around and like add me in. I was not at Porkfest.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll notice if you look closely at those pictures, there's no shadow behind Michael.
I thought he had a body double. Wasn't it just Brian Hagen everywhere?
Who's Brian Hagen?
I don't know.
He does
the other cat show.
The other cat show? Oh, the Liberty Cat show?
He does the Liberty Cats show.
Does he look like me?
No, really nothing like you.
Not in the slightest.
Yeah. Nope, I don't think so. You know who's kind of could play me in a movie, who's like a little better looking and thinner than me, but God, who's
same
that
guy that plays Uncle Fester?
No. The guy that played the pilot on what's that show? There's a big cult show about the space cowboys that run around the universe robbing people. It's kind of cool, kind of libertarian.
Firefly?
Yeah.
You mean the pilot. Mal?
Yeah, the pilot of Firefly.
Oh, pilot. You mean Wash?
Yeah, the red-haired guy.
Oh, yeah.
The blonde.
I could see that.
Yeah. Oh, the first time I ever saw that guy, it was in something else. It was like in a CSI like 10 years ago. And I was like, holy crap, that guy looks like my brother. Like, he looks way more like me than my brother looks like me. My brother looks like Geraldo.
I think I should be played by the fat, hairy guy from Hungover or Hangover.
Oh, you kind of do look like that guy. What's his name?
Yeah. I don't remember. This guy's a long, long, complicated, foreign-sounding name.
Yeah.
But I definitely, if I were ever casting for my own autobiography.
Zach Gacklefinkus, that guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
That's who I would cast as me.
Galifianakis.
Yeah. There's actually another guy that looks a lot more like you that could play you. He plays a murderer in a movie I really like called Antitrust. You ever seen that movie? He plays one of the programmers Negative. Who's murdering other programmers to steal secrets for the Bill Gates type character played by, yeah, I'll look it up.
Yeah, but the Zach all guy right, I think right. has my personality down well.
Yeah, he could do it. He's a funny guy when he's not talking about how great Obama is.
Does he do that? I don't think
really
I could.
Does. No. There's so I many.
He just,
there's so
he just m- lost the job.
I know, man. There's so many. Yeah, there's so many comedians that I love until I hear them speak, basically, outside of comedy or even in comedy. Yeah.
All right. Well, I get Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom. Yeah, I could see that. Maybe. Or you know who could play you, though, who'd be a good person to play you would be Skeet Ulrich.
Orlando Bloom is pretty good. Ulrich I've never heard of.
Really?
Or I could get Johnny Depp from What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Like the old school Johnny Depp? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that guy that we're talking about, Skeet Ulrich, is kind of like the poor man's Johnny Depp. I mean, he looks remarkably similar to Johnny Depp, but he's a lot cheaper to hire. I imagine he gets parts that Johnny Depp turns down. That are written for Johnny.
Oh, wait, what's he been in?
What's he been in? The thing that I loved the most that he was in was Jericho, that TV show that was kind of small government, prepper, libertarian kind of. Yeah.
That's not how I remember that show.
Small government, prepper, libertarian. You know, well, I mean, that movie.
I'll take it.
That movie opens with a new kid in Denver and it closes. I mean, the whole series opens with a new kid in Denver and it closes with, you know, the two heroes like raising the Gadsden flag on the flagpole in front of their house.
I'm thinking of a completely different show.
Finish?
What, Garrett?
Did that show finish or did it just get canceled?
It got canceled. It did 1.5 seasons and it did one season. They started doing the second season and then they were told they were going to cancel and they only had enough money for like 5 episodes or 6 episodes. So they like condensed it all into, you know, condensed like 15 episodes into like 6 episodes.
Yeah, they should have gone graphic novel, finished it that way.
Yeah, the new like totally oppressive government that replaces Washington D.C. in that universe is in Wyoming. I really hated that. Cheyenne becomes Washington D.C., but worse. So, gents, tell me more about why don't you do a podcast, Avi?
I don't have time. There's a technical hurdle. I don't really know how to operate any sort of audio software, and I don't really know where to upload things. But that's not terribly.
It's not insurmountable
difficult to figure
but,
out.
You
it's
know,
not insurmountable.
And, you know, if you, I could walk you through it, but I want you on my show.
I have this show. I have Peace News Now. I have Bitcoin Group. I'm on a lot of shows. I don't have my own show. I guess there's a kind of hurdle like that's psychological, and that is that if it was my own show, I would be committed to doing it every show, every time.
It's taxing, man. There's some days I don't feel like doing it, but once I'm doing it, I like doing it. But it's generally like, and this isn't that often, but sometimes like, you know, in the nighttime shows, like 3 or 4 hours before it, I'm like, I just want to watch back-to-back episodes of CSI or something, man. I don't want to do a show tonight. But then once I'm doing them, I love it. And then the weekend shows, I'm always amped to do them, especially since I know there's more listeners. That actually makes a difference. Like, you know, we're on 25 stations instead of one station. But I have to wake up to an alarm to do the weekend shows because I generally get about 5 hours sleep and have to get up and do those. And for the first 10 or 15 minutes when I'm getting up, like I literally get up 1 hour before we go live. And in that time, I have to, you know, empty everything on my body, which is more than one thing. And then I have to put something in my body. And then I have to drink coffee and eat some breakfast and check my email and like wake up so my brain works and I don't sound retarded.
That's kind of what I do for these weeknight shows.
Yeah.
Take a little nap before the show. Yeah.
Yeah, but but the first 15 minutes that I'm awake from like 10 a.m. my time till 10:15 a.m. my time on Saturday and Sunday, I'm like, you know, I'm sitting in the bathroom trying to wake up, like, you know, trying to empty the first thing I have to empty before I have to get help emptying something else from my wife. And then
I wasn't sure we were going there, but now that we have.
I think we did. But yeah, but that first 15 or 20 minutes, I'm like, I can't, me talk radio soon. I hate the government. I mean, literally, I can't even talk for the first 20 minutes I'm awake, even when I've had sleep. But, you know, even after my coffee, I'm like, my wife tries to talk to me. I'm like, I usually just say swimming, which means I'm swimming to the surface from dreamland. And she understands. But I am so like, I just feel like I'm not going to be able to do it when I wake up on Saturday and Sunday. But then by the time I'm doing it, I'm like, good morning, Vietnam, you know, by the time we're there.
Well, you have a specific time schedule to keep, too. That's that's the thing. I think a lot of amateurs that are coming into this, they don't really have to set an alarm.
Yeah.
They can record it on there. And that's even gotten a lot easier now with different technologies that have come out. Michael, I know you're going to disagree with me, but stuff like Podiomatic and I forget some of the other ones that are out there. Yeah, I know they're not exactly the quality you want, but it makes it a lot easier for people to kind of break into this world, get their microphones, get their mixers, get everything set up.
Does anybody ever go from doing it that way to actually having a podcast and doing it the right way?
There's people who get
popular at it, like Shanklin, but he's still doing it that way, you know. He's still doing it the crappy way that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's actually, I've recently stopped doing a show on there because of the fact that it's all, you got like a 1 hour block or a half hour block, however much time you want to dedicate to that. And there's no commercial breaks and it's live. And a lot of times you're going to be using video and stuff. And I despise using video now because it cuts down on the audio quality so much.
I
wasn't even able to watch some of the previous episodes because the audio kept dropping in and out. The video looked good and everything, but it's just two people sitting, you know, behind the computer screen. You know, it's like you always say, it looks like somebody's just checking their email.
Yeah, it's not interesting. Yeah.
So you cut the video, your audio gets a little bit better, but it is kind of like testing the waters and getting out there and seeing if you have the voice for it or you want to continue doing something like that.
You know, the other reason to do it is because it starts building the resume. If you start doing, like, if you decide or you have an opportunity at some point to get onto a show and you send them and you have nothing to send them, you have no audio, no existing track record of producing anything, they're not going to take you very seriously. But if you have anything, and if you have any number of episodes, you could cut together a best of reel that could be potentially pretty impressive, right?
call it a profile. Yeah.
You know, I actually had this podcast called Clone the Homeless before I was a libertarian, but it's pretty funny. And I made an audio CD of it, of cuts of it to send out to radio stations. And I found one of those the other day. And if I ever don't have a host, if someone ever cancels, I'm playing that the whole show.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Meow. Give me a meow, guys. Can I get a meow?
Meow.
Yeah.
Meow. Meow. I'm a howling cat. Apparently also a bass cat when we're doing a music.
A bass cat. So we're talking about why people should podcast. And, You know, it's a lot of fun to be on a podcast, but it takes a lot of work to do a podcast. It's kind of a radio show. It's kind of the difference between, like, I'm Carla putting on Porkfest, and you guys are like me and you guys just going to Porkfest.
Yep.
It's a lot
of speakers. Yeah. We show up, we collect all of the Alvi accolades, and we leave you with the bill.
We share the stuff that we do that you clean up afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're like, yo, I'm out. Drop the mic, thunderous applause, and they're like, I'm the janitor who's there like till 4 a.m. cleaning it up.
Thank you for your service, Michael.
Oh, yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm also making a little bit of money that you guys aren't making, but, you know, F it.
I'm not apologizing.
F it. We'll do it live.
That's why I consider myself a Fiends volunteer.
You're in the Fiends in the volunteer army. Yeah. Yeah, I make about 40 cents an hour for what I do. So talk about finding liberty and how podcasting is important. You know what I call it? It's like there used to be this thing. I guess it's still a thing, but there used to be this thing called distance learning. Do you guys ever remember that from when you were kids?
I remember distance learning.
What was distance learning?
Remember the
public
term.
Public access television would have, like, you know, at 4 a.m, there'd be this, like,
it would, like, send you packets.
Yeah.
Well, like, packets, like, you would, with it. You would write, you'd send them god awful amounts of money, and then certain sort of curriculums were bundled, and they would arrive in the mail.
Yeah. You're talking about, like, a correspondence course, and they still have those. And, you know, they usually involve video and websites now too, but they involve the mail. But no, I'm talking about, like, after that was the only way to do it. They had this thing. It was one of the early uses of, like, cable television, of public access television. I would see these things in the late 80s or mid 80s on cable access that were like, you know, there'd be like a professor up there teaching intro to chemistry, and it would be like, open your books, and, you know, you're supposed to get the book for it, and you could actually, like, take courses that way. And then if you lived far from a college or couldn't afford or didn't have time to go to college, and then you could pay money, you know, you drive to the college and take the exam at the end of the quarter, and you'd actually get college credit for it. And it was called distance learning. And I kind of consider the Freedom Fiends, like, I've actually called it the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series. And I mean, I came to liberty largely through a bunch of different things. It was like Boston Tea Party's books. It was the Free State Project Forum. There's still a post on the Free State Project Forum somewhere from like 7 years ago where I was saying, okay, I get this idea of, like, liberty, and I don't like the government. You've convinced me, and I think guns are good, and I think marijuana should be decriminalized, but I don't think heroin and cocaine and speed should be legal because they cause violence. And, like, somebody, I should even look up who it is and write him and thank him now. Like, somebody on there, they didn't say, get out of here, you square or you statist. They, like, patiently explained it to me, and I got it, you know, and that was like the final little brick in my head leaving right there.
Yeah. So, is the post still up?
Yeah. I could find
it. You should write them a letter, like a cease and desist, demanding they take it down for defamation of character.
No, I want it up, man. I'll find it while you guys talk about, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. Free Talk Live had a huge influence on me as far as, like, they pushed me over that hurdle of
they kicked you,
minarchism,
you
to,
and screaming to anarchy.
No government, man. Yeah.
No, you like that. No government, man. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very persuasive medium. Talk radio is a very – I mean, the Republican Party wouldn't exist without talk radio.
Okay, to search this, I need the name – who's the name of the drug lord that they made a movie of in – that, like, controlled a state in South America in the 90s, and then the CIA went down and killed him? What was that guy's name?
Was he played by Johnny Depp?
Did Johnny Depp play him?
Yeah. Yeah, who's that guy?
I don't remember the name. It's like Fast or Snatch or –
No, not Temper. That guy. No, the other guy.
It's some one word, one phrase. Is no, it, is it Crank?
No, it's the bigger guy. The more well-known one.
I mean the name of the movie.
No, I know the one you're talking about.
George Jung.
That's Blow. No, it's not George Jung. We'll be back with more in Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends. You stick around, Davi?
Yeah, if you want.
Come here, Worms.
Worms.
I think it's Carlos somebody. Is it Carlos? Not the Jackal. Help me out here. Callers, call in, even though we don't take calls. Yeah.
love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. We are talking with Garrett Fox and Dobby Barker, and the topic is why podcast. But I want to say, I found this post. I'm going to link it. The post where I turned from what's before a minarchist? A statist to a minarchist, I guess.
A statist? A sheeple?
Yeah, but I was kind of a like minarchist. I was halfway.
Republican, Democrat.
Yeah, I was halfway from statist to minarchist. You know, full
conservative Republican.
Conservative who thinks people should be able to smoke pot and buy hookers with Bitcoin. Yeah, and this guy, this guy B.D. Ross, I don't know if he's listening.
A yes government man.
Yes. No, I was a – but some government man. I was a – but without
I was government, a some government man.
Yeah, I think I was at the point of like, you know, government should only take care of really important things like roads and military. But yeah, this guy B.D. Ross talked me down from my statist platform. And someone else also named K. Darian Freeheart. These are the people that brought me screaming and kicking into liberty, and I want to thank them. So, yeah, I want to go find them while you guys talk about distance learning anarchy series and how you said the Free State Project wouldn't exist without Free Talk Live. Qualify that, Javi.
Yeah, so if you talk to a lot of people, at least sort of like – in the New Hampshire nebula, and you ask them how'd they get to liberty, they'll say Free Talk Live. And if you talk to movers in the Free State Project or signers in the Free State Project and you say, how'd you get into the Free State Project, they'll say Free Talk Live. They may say other things first. They may say Derek J's victimless crime spree. They may say, you know, whatever. Like for me, it was Stefan Molyneux's against me argument was a big persuasive thing, but everyone says Free Talk Live. They're like the Ron Paul of the voluntarist movement, right? Like, and so without them, I just don't think that I think they would be languishing in the backwaters of the internet if Free Talk Live wasn't sort of giving them all this sort of free publicity.
Well, I would not say that Free State Wyoming is languishing. A lot of it is just there are people that don't like to be on the internet, but they're not nearly as big as Free State Project in New Hampshire, and they ain't.
But they're just the size they want to be.
And yeah, but they don't have a radio show. I mean, I'm the closest thing they have to a radio show, and how often do I talk about them? Pretty much when Boston comes on and I interview them, and I quote them a lot. But I mean, I'm not even a member. You know, I just live here and I'm friends with them.
This is interesting to me, guys, too, because I hadn't heard of Free Talk Live until I went to Porkfest in 2010.
Oh, really? Well, you know, the theory's blown.
I thought you were going to say until this year when we were using their equipment to do the Freedom Fiends.
No, it was four and a half years ago, whatever, and because I kind of came through it from, I guess, a different door. I was coming from it at, like, the conspiracy theory end of things. So I had, you know, a group of friends down here. We were doing the Baltimore We Are Change thing. And somewhere along the lines, me and my buddies stumbled across this little event known as Porkfest. And then, you know, that's really what took me from out of that whole minarchist world, you know, minimal government. There should be a little bit because who would build the roads into, you know, 1 week at Porkfest and it was all over.
Yeah,
Because I remember going
to the exception that proves the rule.
There you go.
That's such a silly expression, isn't it? Why would an exception prove a rule?
I guess there has to be an exception to every rule, but I hadn't heard that until recently.
So let me ask you, if it wasn't Free Talk Live, was there a podcast or a talk radio thing that was influential in your adoption of Liberty ideas?
I hate to admit it, but yes, there's a little show on on GCN as well called The Alex Jones Show that I was a dedicated listener to for quite some time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that counts. I mean, that's another great example of a very popular show that's it's not, maybe not as like philosophically consistent, but it definitely does sort of shatter people's like sense of the legitimacy in government.
So, and a lot of it was like the Federal Reserve stuff too, and yeah, that was like my first look into like, oh, I can use silver instead of these, you know, this paper money that's going to be rendered worthless one day.
Sure. So that's the thing. Like, if this is such a persuasive medium, and it's also like relatively simple, like it's really just a matter of removing the filter between your brain and your mouth, then like there's no reason for people not to do it. If they have a lot, if they think a lot and they have a lot to say and they, you know, have a few hours in the day to do it, then there's no reason not to start building that audience. You know, a good great example is Mad Bitcoin. You guys, did you guys meet Thomas Hunt when you were at Porkfest?
No, but I heard you squeeze, people scared him with guns.
Yeah, he was afraid of the guns. But, you know, he got excited about Bitcoin. He didn't know.
I was afraid of the guns, and I carry a gun all the time. And we have this idea. Are you there, Corey?
Yes, okay. I'm here.
Cool. Corey's calling in. We're going to put him on in a second.
Is this Corey Moore?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Hi.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to let you finish, Dolly, but I wanted to interject that we have a plan. Because I saw a little bit of unsafe gun handling. Nothing that really freaked me out, but... I'm going to clip together about a 10-minute video on gun safety. It's going to be taken from Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle and the blonde girl at the beginning of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. We're going to put that on an infinite loop and have it on a flat screen that Derek Slopey is going to bring on Davi's table next year. So like every time you walk by Davi, you're going to be assaulted with gun training safety.
Right. It's and a public service announcement.
So finish your thought on Bitcoin there, Davi, and then we'll go to Corey.
Mad Bitcoin is a great example. He got excited about Bitcoin. He didn't necessarily like know how to get involved. And so he just started doing a goofy YouTube channel. And now it's like branched into, you know, like on-site camera reporting and the Bitcoin group. And he's like, he is a media personality in the Bitcoin space. And he's done it all himself with the force of his personality.
Yeah. Is it a video only or is it a audio podcast also?
I think it's video only. I think it's just YouTube.
Yeah, and there's some stuff that's incredibly popular on YouTube, but I think that people are doing themselves a disservice by if they're only doing that and not putting the audio of it up or also having audio
on a
site that they own the domain to that's not YouTube or can be taken down. And have an RSS feed that includes the enclosures of the media files. So people can subscribe to it, get it automatically, and listen to it while they're doing other stuff. That is the magic of podcasting.
He's also committed to a costume. Like he's created this character, Mad Bitcoin, that wears a top hat and goggles. Huh. And he's sort of moving away from it now. But like, you know, that's... It really depends on the personality of the broadcaster. You know, if you're a visual artist, then do a YouTube, and if you're a speaker, if you're a verbal artist, then do a podcast. Yeah.
So I'm looking at this now, and it's kind of a takeoff on the Mad Money guy, right?
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah. All right. So Corey Moore, who are you, and what do you want?
No. This is Corey Lowe.
Corey Lowe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Corey Lowe's the guy who made the really cool cartoon. You should get a little closer to your mic. You sound like you're in a bathroom. Do you have a good mic, by the way?
No, my mic is crap.
Okay, you're going to have to order a Freedom Fiends endorsed mic from the Freedom Fiends site for $55 for next time you call in. But Corey Lowe is the guy who made the really cool... I didn't get to pimp these much because I was at Porkfest and like just quickly threw them up on my free Facebook face beef feed. But he was doing this Adventures of Guns and Weed Kitty. Was that it? Cartoons?
Something like that. It's still developing.
It's pretty funny, man. So what's on your mind tonight, sir?
I think you might have been talking about Pablo Escobar a few minutes
ago.
That
was like 4 hours ago, but yeah, what about him?
Oh, well then maybe I'm behind on something.
Well, if you're listening on the satellite that sends it up to Alpha Centauri and back, it does take about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Then maybe that's the problem. But that's what I was mainly calling about. I was just trying to sell FTL and your program to a chick in South Africa, trying to get her to listen on satellite radio. So she seems like she's...
I don't know if we're on in South America. We're on a satellite.
South Africa.
I mean, I don't know if we're on in South Africa. We're on a satellite channel that covers East Coast to West Coast of Africa, but it's mostly in the middle.
In the middle. Yeah, I know there was there's what's his name from Cameroon?
Echo.
Echo, there you go. You'd think I'd remember his name. It's pretty unique. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much where it's at in the future. I think that
Does she have internet? I mean, South Africa is a pretty industrialized nation.
Yeah, but I was talking to her, and it seems like there's an immense amount of poverty. She says that there's 1.5% of the population there are white, and pretty much all the jobs are distributed based on affirmative action, so it's very difficult for people to get jobs.
So it's the opposite of apartheid now. So they made a reverse apartheid. That's the government solution, is the reverse apartheid. Okay.
Yeah, but people got beef, so you know, you never know. I mean, I just actually started talking to her today. I met her through a friend on the Facebooks and started talking to her, and you know, people, they have beef, and you know, people live in different situations.
I think People Have Beef should be the name of a podcast.
Yeah, it probably should be.
It'd be all calls all the time in the middle of the night when everyone's drunk. People Have Beef. What's yours?
Yeah, it could be like a more drunk version of Free Talk Live, and without so much well thought out discussion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that would just happen if you had open calls this time of night, because I mean, who's up this time of night? Drug addicts, loners, the unemployed, the mentally ill.
And people who think well at night.
Yeah, like me.
I mean, I'm almost completely lucid at this point.
So what else are you thinking about?
That's really it. I recently, today I put the, I put all my stuff on my website into the public domain.
Did you put it on the public domain or Creative Commons? Okay, that's better.
Well, no, I did public domain.
Public domain does have a legal meaning that people can work with. It basically means no rights reserved.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't believe in them, so I figure I just go ahead and let everyone know. Now, I did put the Creative Commons thing at the bottom, just because they still have to send me the code over the internet, over the email.
Who's they?
The little tag.
What are you talking about?
The Creative Commons people. So there's a little code tag at the bottom, and it was easier for me to find the Creative Commons one. So I put the Creative Commons one there as a placeholder until I can find the public domain one. So,
well, cool, man. I look forward to more of your art, and you should send it to me when you have new panels of Guns and Weed, Kitty. I will post them on the Face Beefs.
Excellent. Will do.
Thank you for your call, sir.
Yep.
Take care.
You too.
Can I get a Worms, guys?
Worms.
Oh, yes, Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
C select inverse. Select inverse. Select inverse. This is Michael Dean, the Freedom Fiend. Someone's calling in. Nathan, we're going to talk about stuff. No, call back tomorrow, Nathan. All right, so we're popular. It bothers me. I don't want to be popular. Okay, I just want to talk to my friends and make cat photoshops. So we're talking about podcasting. And so the other good thing about podcasting is that because of public education in America and probably around the world and just the way that people are these days, like nobody either can't read or can't read well or doesn't like to read. And podcasting is great for short attention spans, especially since it's for the shortest attention spans because you can do it while you're doing almost anything else. What say you guys?
Well, exactly. It's almost like writing an audiobook as you speak.
It's narrating your life.
Yeah. That's a reason that I don't make film anymore much because, I mean, people say constantly, like, why? Make another film. I loved your film. Make another film. And I'm like, it takes like a year to make an hour and a half long film that works really well. It takes like 3 hours to make an hour and a half of audio that works really well. You know, and that's counting like booking the people, prepping a little ahead of time, sending me some emails back and forth, and then me editing it and fluffing and folding it and uploading it later. I mean, that's like 3 hours. You know, so it's like you got these scales. It's like 3 hours or, you know, a year. 3 hours or a year. I'd rather do this.
Yeah, I've got a bookshelf full of books, and it seems to have just turned into a climbing toy for my kitty.
So you want to talk about kitties, didn't you?
Yeah, that's her new favorite thing to do is climb up the bookshelf, get behind the books, and just knock everything off as she's going. So I think I found a solution for it, and I kind of want to hear your expertise since you've been a longtime cat owner, Michael. Have you ever seen the aerosol cans that's supposed to train your cat not to go where you don't want it to go?
No, and that sounds cruel. Is it the sound or the smell that does it?
It's the smell. It's the smell.
What's in it?
I mean, it actually repels me too. I don't have it sitting in front of me, of course.
It's probably coyote urine. Well, like literally, coyote urine you could buy on the internet, like crystallized coyote urine. It's used to, you know, keep cats or rabbits, you know, out of your garden. But it would probably
and guess out of your home.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I'd sprinkle it on my sofa. But I don't know. I mean, the thing about cats is you really can't train them to not go anywhere. And if you don't want cats to go somewhere in your house and it bothers you that they're going somewhere in your house, you probably shouldn't have cats. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have cats because I think you should. But there's people who like will not let their cat on their bed and like try to train them not to. You can't train a cat. You can, and you're going to make them miserable and make yourself miserable. Like basically all you can do is cat proof things. Like pretty much the only place in the house I don't want the cats is on my mixer because they walk on my mixer and they press buttons and there's like 100 buttons on my mixer. And then I go to do a show and like, you know, the board op can't hear me or can only hear me in one channel, or, you know, my guest can't hear me or something, or there's an echo I can't get rid of.
And then you got to figure out what went wrong.
Yeah. And then I have to pull out, like, you know, the photo that I have that I took a close up of, like, every button in its optimum position and figure out which one it was. So, but we solved that. My wife made something we call the Catmaster 3000, which is, okay. It's a cover. It's a hard cover made of poster board that's been folded over and it's got a bunch of duct tape on it. And then we wrote on it, Catmaster 3000, cats, stay off. And every night when I'm done doing my show, I kind of fold it over it, and it kind of folds over the bottom edge, and it stays there. And then I throw a big, like, beach towel over the whole table that has everything, and then I kind of tuck it in around it. And then the cats just run and sit on that towel, and they don't hurt anything. They don't press any buttons. So you can cat-proof, but you really can't or shouldn't, I think, try to teach cats not to go places in your home.
There you go. And see, I've actually been taking some of that wire loom. You see it a lot in, like, automotive cars and stuff when they're trying to keep everything nice and clean on inside of the engine bay. I've been putting that stuff around, like, my microphone cables and anything hanging out of the back of my computer and whatnot, because you know, for some reason, cats think anything that dangles and kind of moves when they bat at it is a toy for them to play with.
You know who's worse is rabbits. Rabbits, if you have them in your house, will like eat wires, like wires that are plugged in and not get electrocuted sometimes. I had that happen when I was rabbit sitting once.
I've lost many a headphones due to that exact thing.
Rabbits. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
I love you so much that I wish you were dead or locked up down in some jail. Cause if you were dead, you'd be underground and not squeaking under my friends.
Yep, it's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend.
And, that was dark.
That's the lyrics of that song, man. I love you so much that I wish you were dead or locked up down in some jail. Because if you were dead, you'd be underground and not squeaking under my friends.
Wow.
I was a happy young man back then. Okay, so speaking of powerful art, this movie I made, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, the one that's narrated by Robert Downey Jr., and it's a really good movie about a really good writer. The Pisa Film Festival in Pisa, Italy, showed it recently, and they transcribed and translated and added Italian subtitles. So I got the DVD of that from them today after they showed it, and I put it up on the Fiends Torrents and on YouTube. So you can go watch that. And it's actually the only place that the whole film is up on YouTube. So look for Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, or go to the Freedom Fiends blog, and there's a link to the YouTube and to the torrents. And speaking of torrents, tomorrow I'm going to be putting Davi Barker's audiobook, read by Daryl Perry, the audiobook of Authoritarian Sociopathy. Is that it?
That's right.
Yeah, which is something I'm really looking... You know what? I'll listen to it because it's an audiobook and I didn't have time to read it, but now I'll listen to it. That's a perfect example of what we're talking about here.
Yeah. For people that don't have time to read, it is now an audiobook.
Yep. I haven't finished getting it all yet. I had to do the show, so I turned off my torrents downloading it. But how long is it?
It's really short. The book is really short, too. It's only like 40 pages. I don't know how long the audio is altogether because I listened to it one chapter at a time just to edit. It's pretty short.
Like more than a couple hours, or is it like a couple hours?
No, it's probably not even a couple hours.
Is it an hour?
Maybe an hour.
Cool. That's something else I'll have in my if a host ever cancels at the last minute, I'll just play it. Is it released Creative Commons? Do I have to ask your permission?
No, absolutely not. In fact, the first chapter is about it being open source and not creative, not copywritten and all that jazz.
Cool.
That's cool. You got Daryl to read it for you.
Well, he's the publisher, so
he better read it then.
Yeah, that's his job. That's why I pay him the big bucks.
And he's a respected radio personality and voiceover artist. He's on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, he's definitely got a voice for radio too.
Yep, I've got a face for radio.
Yeah.
Do you have to have a cat to do a podcast?
I don't know, but there's a cat yelling in the background. Did you hear it?
No.
So yeah, we were talking about cats and keeping them off stuff. You can't do it, man. You can't do it. I will actually, my 16-year-old cat who's pretty healthy for that age, but she's really fat. She is a plumper. She's like, I don't know. Put it this way, like it's like lifting a sack of potatoes when I pick her up. She's getting so fat that she actually snores almost like a human, to the point where I generally don't let her sleep in the same room with me because she'll wake me up. And so what I've figured out is that I have to let her be fully asleep before I carry her out of the room and put her on the couch in the living room. It's like a kid. Like, you know, you can't take the kid and tuck them in. You have to wait until they're asleep, and then you can move them and they might stay asleep. Because if she isn't fully asleep, she will, if I shut my door, she will come claw at the door until I just wake up and let her in. So, yeah, that's one of the problems of elderly plump cats. That you don't have that problem yet, do you?
Me, no. My cat's still kind of young.
Garrett's got a
brand. He's going to be fat, though.
Garrett's cat has that new kitten smell still, huh?
Oh, yeah. She likes to just sit outside and meow her face off. I can't even, like, take a I've been taking showers with the door open just so she can come into the bathroom and not meow outside of it.
There's a really awesome picture that was going around of, like, a kitten by a closed door trying to, like, put its paw under the door, and the caption was, "It harms me when you shut the door." And it's like, that is so right on. Like, that is what it sounds like cats are saying when you go in the bathroom and shut the door and they sit out there and meow. It looks like it feels like they're saying, it harms.
They have like abandonment issues.
It harms me when you shut the harms is the perfect word. It harms me when you shut the door. Yeah.
Well, she's getting bold too, because if I'm coming in through like the front door to her apartment or going out the sliding glass door of her apartment, she like makes a beeline to get through before I can close the door. So she's really like trying to like, you know, test her boundaries and, you know, see what else is out there and stuff. So
that's funny. It was very funny.
She's bold.
Yep. Yeah, kitties. So what else you guys got on your mind? Swords? What do you want to talk about? Knives? Oh, knives. Knives.
Yeah, I can't substantiate this rumor that there is a Yemeni dagger that must draw blood. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, this is Davi is a fan of all things bladed. You know, if you heard him calling into Free Talk Live today, getting ready to be put into Gitmo for what he was saying, it's pretty interesting.
To give you some idea, we cut our wedding cake with a sword. That was what we did at our wedding.
That's awesome.
I want to carry a sword at our wedding.
Well, you know, I think a Renfair wedding, that's probably been done. Although you said that this picture we're using tonight for the image looks like something from Renfair. This cat with the weasel in his mouth as the crest.
Yeah, it looks like something would like engrave in a piece of wood and hang above their shop.
Yes, the shop where they sell weasels and cats.
Yeah, mushrooms.
My mother, for most of my life, or, you know, until she died about 10, 15 years ago, she owned a store in Chautauqua, New York called the Oriental Bazaar, which I don't even think you could legally do anymore. That doesn't sound politically correct. But, you know, she sold everything from like, you know, $20,000 Persian rugs to like, you know, $500 small Persian prayer rugs to like 90, you know, 25 cent rubber alligators made in Korea kind of things. I mean, everything from the near and far east. And she sold.
Yeah, I don't think you can traffic in oddities anymore because I think there are too many regulations and you might get raided for having the wrong kind of wood or something.
Yeah, you probably would. And
kidding.
She sold these sort of sidearm swords that were from the Middle East. I don't know what country, but they had an Islamic crescent symbol on them, on the scabbard, on the leather scabbard. And it was like hard leathered scabbard. And they had, it was kind of like a chop down sword. It was about, 16 inches long and 2 inches wide at the widest part. And it had a hilt on it. And it went into this scabbard that was, you know, you could tie onto a belt, and it had a belt loop on it, or like, you know, probably for a scarf or something loop. And then it had two little, like, tiny holsters in front of it where there were two little knives about 2 inches long that looked like the big knife shrunk down. And my mother went on several buying trips, as far as I know, definitely to like Thailand and maybe not China, maybe Hong Kong. But to the Far East, and then I think she went to the Middle East too. And she told me about meeting the guy who was wholesaling these things, and you know the way she described it probably would be considered kind of racist now, and it kind of sounded like something out of Lawrence of Arabia the way she described the guy. But it was somewhere in the Middle East, I believe, and she said that he drew it and said, you know, like drew it reluctantly to show it to her and said, well, when these are drawn, they have to taste blood. And he gave himself a little nick on his arm, and his whole arm was covered with hundreds of little nicks from having done this for years. And
the question is, or else what?
the spirits of those you've slayed will come after you, or I don't know, man. And we looked this up, and it just seems like a big urban myth. My mother wouldn't lie, though. She actually saw this. I think it's an urban myth that people did for the tourists to sell them stuff. But you said that this actually happened in Dune, which came out the book came out the year before my mother took this buying trip. So maybe, you know, somebody was reading the book Dune or watching the movie and got the idea from that.
I mean, I guess the question is, how old are the scars? Because if he'd been doing it for 10 years, those scars would look older, right?
But you said that there's the people who did it in Dune. What were they called?
They're called Fremen Dune.
And they're based on
Yemeni people.
Yeah.
And the Yemen, or the Bedouins of Yemen, have I guess all of Yemen has them, but they have a blade called a jambia, which sort of fits the description you're talking about, where it's like got a curved hilt.
Yeah.
And I mean, like corkscrew, it looks like a candy cane kind of a thing, right? But I don't know any myth or folklore or custom about
having to draw blood.
Having to taste blood.
To taste blood.
Yeah. It's pretty cool and weird and spooky.
I can send you a picture of a jambia and you can tell me if that's what it is, though.
Okay. I was going to say, yes, a picture. And this is television and everyone will be able to see it. But yeah, I can confirm it. And put it in the show notes because we do that. Yeah. So you got any knives, Garrett?
I'm a big fan of the blade. I've got a couple of knives.
I live by the blade. It sounded kind of I'm a man who lives by the blade.
Well, it's like we were saying earlier. They don't run out of bullets, and they can open boxes. Imagine trying to open a box with a gun. That could get.
That's really what I want a blade messy. For. I just want to be able to open boxes.
Yeah. Well, you know. Carrying knives on one's hip is extraordinarily common in Wyoming. I've never been anywhere where a higher percentage of people are carrying blades, and they're, you know, most males above 18 have a knife in a little pouch on their belt, probably 70% of them. And one of the coolest things I saw was the first week we lived here, we went shopping at Walmart one time at like 3 a.m. This is before DJ even started to look for a job here, and we were, you know, partying all night, every night on coffee and hanging out and emptying things together all night. We just were like, wow, new place. Let's go explore in the middle of the night. And we were in Walmart, and there was this, I think she was 16, but she might've been 18-year-old woman working there. And she was trying to open a pallet, you know, to like restock shelves in the middle of the night. And she had like the box cutter that, you know, Walmart provided, and she was trying to open this plastic and it was dull. And she pulled this like 12-inch Bowie knife off of her belt and just went and opened it. I was like, nice, Wyoming, where children carry giant knives. I think I'm going to like it here. Seriously. We'll be back with more with the redemption in the third act after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Freedom Fiends, we have done more research. And since we are filled with a warrior spirit, we're going to use this coat of arms of the cat eating the weasel with a microphone in front of him and the words Freedom Fiends on it and call this episode Freedom Fiends, Devouring the Weasels of Liberty since 2011. We've also done some further research with very important and accurate sources like the Chicago Tribune to discover that my deceased mother may have been importing swords from Al-Qaeda in 1975. No.
Material support from terrorism.
She didn't even know what it was. Although she bought that place from a guy from Lebanon. Is this Lebanon we're talking about or Jordan?
We're talking about Yemen. This is where Anwar al-Awlaki and his son were droned.
Dude, you're going to get me in trouble. Okay, go ahead and read this. Just don't say what you said on Free Talk Live today and go ahead and read this.
Okay. The Jambia would not make it through TSA.
Okay, what's a Jambia? Explain this thing.
A Jambia is a traditional blade in Yemen. It has a curved hilt.
And we found a picture in this.
Into the belt.
This is what she was selling in her store. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's sort of parts of India have it too, but it's really known in Yemen. So it says the Jambia is a curved dagger traditionally with a handle carved from rhino horn and worn in the belt of Yemeni men. It beats only the AK-47 and other automatic weapons as the popular fashion accessory, especially in rural areas of Yemen. Once the Jambia is withdrawn from its sheath, it must draw blood, according to tradition, even if the owner must cut his own hand. The colorful weapon symbolizes the irrepressible warrior culture that currently fuels the ethnic rebellion in Yemen's north, a secessionist movement in its south, and Al-Qaeda sympathies everywhere. So this kind of sounds like sensationalist garbage to me, but it's, you know, the Chicago Tribune, which is the authority on Yemeni culture.
It's actually the only thing we could find that wasn't a blog called like shinysharpthings.org or something.
Right.
You know, it's the only thing anyone's heard of that mentions this myth.
You know, so their source is parentheses according to tradition, which is like, okay.
According to the tradition of the guy.
I think your mom is a stronger source than this article.
She's not even around to confirm it. Yeah. Well, I think it's according to the tradition of the guy who hangs out at the tourist bazaar and sells crap to foreigners.
Well, you were there saying you go. It was a rumor about the Scottish that was designed to defame them. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. Fee-fi-fo-blo-fum, I have to draw the blood of an Englishman when I draw my sword.
Yeah, so it is, you know, it's sort of like a blood libel in a way.
Yeah, blood libel. You know, there's a Death Clock movie in the Death Clock universe called...
Hang on a sec.
Blood. Wait. Blood. Blood Ocean. Here, I'll do it again. Blood Ocean.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, and it's like the worst film ever made, and they're the stars of it, and they don't want it released, and they spent about $1 trillion making it.
Blood Libel kind of sounds like the name of a Death Clock episode.
It kind of does, though. Blood Libel is like, you know, saying like that your opponent eats babies or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, or cuts their own hand because the dagger demands it.
Yeah, a lot of U.S. congressmen like to use it on brown people from around the world. I've heard them use it on each other even. I think I've heard a congressman accuse someone else of killing babies or eating babies or...
You know, it makes me wonder, like, if you were actually a military and you used... This was in the age of sword play as sort of the military weapon of the day. How do you practice if every time you have to draw a weapon, you have to draw blood? Does that mean you have to, like, attack... You have to cut your own army just to practice? Like,
no, you keep some prisoners around to practice on. You know, I almost wonder if this is something that's completely fictitious in practice, other than for impressing tourists. That's like, you know, made up the same way that they'd make up something about like hillbilly, you know, Northerners would make up about hillbillies in America or something.
It's a guilt sale. You've made him cut his hand and now you have to buy the knife.
It worked. She bought dozens of them and sold them in the Oriental Bazaar at 1 Miller Avenue in Chautauqua, which is...
And who knows where that money ended up?
I wonder if they sterilize them first.
Probably on, like, the dental work in my mouth, so the TSA is going to have to confiscate my teeth now. All right, man. It's been a great show, guys. Thanks for chipping in.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to sharpen my knife now.
I'm going to go eat some weasels. Weasels.
Worms.
On worms.
Worms on worms on worms on worms. Aren't there worms in Dune?
Yeah, there are sandworms.
Sandworms.
Blood Ocean.